Here we are at October the 16th. The Gospel is Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So let's pray. Gracious, holy, mighty, sovereign God, shape us according to your will into the image of your Son. Help us now to make steps, even if only baby steps, towards a deeper, more meaningful prayer life that will please you. Amen. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And so he tells this story, I'm sure very familiar to most of us, about a widow and a judge. A judge who had no regard for God or for the needs of his fellow men. The widow demands justice. He ignores her until eventually, for the sake of peace, he gives up and gives her justice. And Jesus finishes by saying, "Do you not think that your heavenly Father would not fail to listen to you and answer you? There is a widow, plainly without any family, and therefore helpless and extremely vulnerable. God's law laid specific commands concerning the needs of widows and how to help them. And the judge, of course, is honor bound to receive her and help. Instead, he ignores her. But because she is such an annoying, squeaky wheel, he helps her out just to get rid of her. Why should we pray? We are commanded to. You recall that Jesus says in the Gospels, when you pray, not if you pray. A prayerless Christian is an unimaginable concept in the New Testament. It cannot exist. The prayerless Christian not only does not pray, they are not Christian. Indeed, how could we not pray? In our secular world, how we love to flock to our favourite team's sports events or spend the time watching them on TV. How we love to go to our favourite artists' concerts or plays or recitals. How we love to crowd around celebrities. So therefore, if I were to announce in the notices that some A-list celebrity would be here on Sunday, or a favourite politician of national prominence would attend, this place would be packed. But if I announce a prayer meeting before the service, the place would be empty. Back in the 16th century, Bishop Latimer, an English bishop who was martyred for his faith, before this, he preached before the king. Always a risky business in those days to preach before the king. The wrath of princes is death. And in his sermon, he soliloquizes, "Latimer, Latimer, have a care. The King of England is here." And then later he says, "Latimer, Latimer, have a care. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is here." Every Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ is here in this place where we meet, before we meet in his name and we have his promise. The Lord God omnipotent is here. The ultimate A-list celeb is here. And yet, we know it not. He comes in to this church with the Christian. He leaves this building with the Christian. He is with the Christian always, as he has promised, and yet we hardly know it. Sin, busyness, willfulness has dulled our senses, veiled our sight, blocked our ears, so that we're simply just not aware of him. He is still there. We just don't know it. I remember a time some years back when my wife Norma's parents, who were living in Virginia Beach, they aged, of course, and her father was dying, and we knew it. This was a man whom I esteemed more than my own father. And of course, I would spend as much time as I could up there. Normie stayed permanently. And I would stay as long as I could and as often as I could with the family. But I was also the rector of a church and I had to show up. And a time close to the end came and I had to fly back to preach. And the weather in Virginia Beach was grey. There was light rain. There was low, heavy, impenetrable cloud. It was completely miserable and it totally reflected my mood. Well, the plane took off and of course it climbed rapidly and suddenly from grey cloud and zero visibility, you burst into brilliant sunshine and a cloudless blue sky. We had broken through the clouds. And when we were up there, I looked out of the plane window and you couldn't see the ground below because only the clouds were there and they obscured everything. So when I took off, the sun was there, the blue sky was there, but it was invisible. It was hidden from my sight. But it was always there. And Jesus's point here is that God is always there, always attentive to his children. Why should we pray? Well, we have no choice. Jesus states very clearly in John 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." But you might say, well, that's not true. We can do things that are Christian. Yes, you can, but we cannot do without him, without his help and guidance, that which is his will, that which is eternal. The great temptation for us, for example, would be to build up a church congregation using human savvy and business and market acumen. And you can do that. We could, by ourselves, build a group of people. Huge numbers of churches do, but you won't be building a body of Christ. You will build a church that man wants, but not the church that Jesus wants. And of course, all of this begs the question, so what is prayer? It's drawing near to God, seeking his will and his guidance. I have in my tool chest, something about 18 inches long that is called a contour gauge. Carpenters would use it. Supposing you come up against a piece of crown molding and you want to cut the next piece so it will exactly fit in with the crown molding pattern. You lay up the contour gauge against the crown molding. It moves and shapes itself. You take that gauge, you put it on your molding, you take your pencil, you draw out the shape, you cut off the pattern, and then the two things will meet together. Prayer aligns our lives more and more to the life of God. Prayer helps us to bend ourselves to His will. Prayer is coming into God's presence. And only Christians can come into God's presence. So before you pray, be sure that you trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Be sure you have dedicated yourself to His service and His service alone. For remember, the Lord tells us no man can serve two masters. You cannot ask God to do A, B, and C, while at the same time you wish to do D, E, and F, and you don't care what God thinks about D, E, and F. Jesus taught us, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and it is patently obvious, it is thy will only be done in our lives. Not, "Oh, thy will be done," as long as it doesn't interfere with my will. Prayer, then, is worship, meaning that you come before Him offering your life to Him. That is true worship. We present ourselves, our souls and bodies, as a living sacrifice. And so then the next question that's begged is, so what do we pray about? And there's all kinds of theories about this, and they're all wrong. We pray about everything. In Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 5, "The Lord is near." Oh, never forget that, dear brother and sister. The Lord is near. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then someone will say, "But what if I pray for the wrong thing?" There's no if about it. You will pray for the wrong thing on occasions. Do not despair. I remember going to a lecture by Archbishop Anthony Bloom. He was the head patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church in England, and he was a man steeped in prayer. And he said, people ask me, "Well, what if I pray for the wrong thing?" And I tell them, it doesn't matter. God will make it right. I remember, he says, as a child, I loved my grandfather. He was my hero. He was the very center of my universe. And my grandfather had false teeth, and he used to take them out at night and put them in a glass of water next to his bed. And I prayed as a little boy, "Lord, make my teeth like my grandfather's teeth so that I can take them out just like him." And God, of course, didn't answer that prayer. You see, the Lord is your heavenly Father. He's going to make it clear to you what is good and right and proper and what is not, just as any decent earthly father worthy of the name would also do. And then, of course, I hear you say, "But I'm no good at praying." And as you perhaps heard me say before, if you cannot pray well, pray badly. But for all love, pray. We are told that the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us, guides us, shapes us each day. He is always watching over us. You will improve as you draw near to Him, as you lay your life, your will, against the life and will of God. He will shape you like that carpenter's contour gauge, and you will be in complete alignment with all that He wants for you. Now, that will happen in heaven, but it starts now. You will improve. Only let us, dear people, determine to seek God's face, God's will, God's glory, and the Spirit of God will shape us in holiness from one level to the next. Now, the Lord finishes this statement, this parable on prayer, with a rather strange and disturbing statement. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? When He comes back and we stand before Him, what will He find in your life and mine? Faith would be, would He find us seeking His will, seeking His presence, seeking His guidance, day in and day out? You see, perhaps we should explain, when He says we should pray and never give up, He doesn't mean that we should pray unceasingly, second by second, because then nothing else would happen. No, He says what you should do is get into the habit of praying constantly, seeking Me constantly, relying on Me constantly. Now, that is faith. Faith in Christ is relying on Him, looking to Him, seeking Him. In your life, day to day, how often do your thoughts turn to Him? How often do you seek His will and His guidance? How often do you hold Him before you and lay your life against His? When He comes again, will He find faith on the earth in you and in me? Amen.